I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And welcome back all those who have traveled, particularly our brother George. Brother George has been away for some time. Good to see you back in the house of the Lord. And the warmest greetings to all of you. And it seems like winter is back, right, this morning. Suddenly it became so cold. But we have warm fellowship here. Thank God for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given us His Holy Spirit, who indwells us, who comforts us, and who strengthens us. Aren't you glad that you have the Holy Spirit in you, my dear friends? Aren't you glad? Yes, we should all be very, very glad, because He indwells us, He strengthens us, He gives us joy, and He gives us peace. Now, the subject this morning is there comfort in death? Is there comfort in death? And I will be speaking primarily from this passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, at least for the last part of my message. Now, Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Because in the house of feasting, you will never come face to face with the greatest reality of life." And what is the greatest reality of life? The greatest reality of life is, of course, death. That is the greatest reality. It is real. Every one of us has to face it someday. Yes, but when you go into the house of mourning, you come face to face with this reality. You see the person in the casket. It was just maybe days ago, few days ago perhaps, that the person in the casket was alive, laughing with you, talking with you, smiling at you. But now that person is gone. And it suddenly strikes you that actually you are lining up to go into that casket. We are all in the queue, right? And then, of course, it is there that we will ask this question, when is my turn? Am I ready for it when my turn comes? Yes, you will wise up and you ask yourself that question in the house of mourning. But in the house of feasting, you will be so busy making merry, you will never ask yourself questions like this, am I ready when my turn comes? So that is why it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Now, while it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, I actually have no desire to go to the house of mourning. One in which there is no comfort, one in which I cannot offer any comfort at all. And I'm referring to the house of mourning in which the deceased, or the one who passed away, was not a believer. Case in point would be the passing away of my brother recently. 2 weeks ago, on Saturday night, I got a call from my niece, who told me that my brother was critically ill, and that he was admitted to the ICU in one of the hospitals in Singapore. And then the next day, he passed away. Now, did I have any desire to go to that house of mourning? Yeah. Frankly, no desire at all. Because I knew exactly where my brother was going. He was not a believer. I knew that he was going to a place for eternal suffering and eternal hell. Now, what words of comfort could I say to the widow, my sister-in-law? What words of comfort could I say to my niece and my nephew? What could I say to them? Nothing good to say to them, and except maybe, I'm sorry that your husband passed away. I'm sorry your parents passed away. And those were exactly the words I said to my niece over the phone. I'm sorry your dad passed away. That's all I could say. No comfort to offer at all, and I would not have any comfort at all if I went to that house of mourning. But although I didn't have the desire to go, I actually wanted to go. But to pay my respect. But my back was hurting me so badly that I couldn't take the flight, so I didn't go back to Singapore. But the truth is, there is no comfort in the house of mourning, one in which the bereaved is an unbeliever, or was an unbeliever. But if the house of mourning is one in which the deceased was a believer, of course, I will still feel sad to go to that house. But at the same time, I think I can feel joy. At the same time, I can feel great hope. And at the same time, I will have a great sense of rejoicing and thanksgiving, because I know that that deceased had gone home to be with the Lord. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so recently, our session members went together to the house of mourning. We attended the home-going service of our brother, the late Reverend Peter Clemens, who for many years was serving the Lord faithfully. And then 5 years ago, he was stricken with a very rare type of cancer. And then he passed away very recently. When we saw the bereaved family in Kutamandra, Mrs. Anne Clemens and 6 young teenage children, we were very sad, very, very sad. We could not help it but shed tears when we saw the teenage children. But sad as we were able to comfort them. We could assuredly look into their eyes and say to them, "Be comforted. Your dad has gone home to be with the Lord. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One day soon you are going to see him again." And all the children sobbing away nodded their heads, because they also believed that their dad had gone to be with the Lord, and one day they were going to see him. So the question is there comfort in death when you think of your own death and the death of other people? It depends, my dear friends. It depends. It depends on what death means to you. And it also depends on what is actually going to happen to you when you die. What happens when a person dies? And that was the question that was posed to the great Apostle Paul. Because from the folks in the city of Thessalonica, because they had folks, relatives who had passed away, who had come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And so Paul wrote to them and responded with this beautiful passage that we've read, with words of comfort, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, which I will deal with a little while later. It was a message of comfort, a message of hope to the folks in the city of Thessalonica. So, is there comfort in death? As I said, it depends what death means to you, and what is actually going to happen to you after you've died. Now, whether we like it or not, death is the end of our physical life. Isn't it true? Whether we like it or not, it's the end of our physical life. And whether we like it or not, it is a common end. Our common end. And that's my first point. Death is the end of our physical life and is our common end. The Word of God in Proverbs 22 verse 2 says, "The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The rich and the poor meet together." It makes no difference whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are wise, whether you are foolish, whether you are smart, whether you are not so smart, whether you are king or pauper, famous, not famous. It doesn't matter. Yes, all will be the same. Yes. There is no escape from this thing called death. This event will surely come upon us someday. And it is a common end. To many are famous, there is no comfort in death. Yes, this man, a very famous man, I think you must have heard of him, Woody Allen. You've heard of Woody Allen? I'm sure you've heard of him. He's an American film director, screenwriter, actor, comedian, writer, musician, and playwright. A very, very talented and famous man. You know what he says? He said, "I am not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens." You see? The reason why he doesn't want to be there when it happens is that he wants to continue to be conscious of his fame. He can't bear the thought that one day he'll be unconscious concerning his fame. So he must have his fame and must be conscious of it. So to such people, death is not a comfort. Then to many a rich, death is no comfort at all. It is in death, the rich person is no better than a pauper. He could be buried in a 24-karat gold coffin. Yes, but he will still be as poor as a pauper, because naked he came into the world, and for sure naked he was going to leave the world. Now how sad it will be for him when he realizes that, oh, he must leave his palaces behind. He must leave his multi-million dollar yachts behind. He must leave his fleet of limousines behind. He must leave his fleet of jet planes behind. And he must leave behind his pampered, luxurious lifestyle. That's very sad for him. So, no comfort for the rich when they think of death. Then for some, it sounds like death is a very welcome event. I read about a tombstone that had these words inscribed on it. If you turn to your bulletin, there's a on the insert. Yes. All right. On the insert, you'll find the words. All right. On this tombstone, these words were inscribed. I was not, I became, I am not, I cannot. I was not, I became, I'm not, I cannot. In other words, once upon a time, I was nothing. I didn't exist. Then I was born. I became. I live my life on this earth. And then I'm not, which means I die. And I cannot. Now I don't have any care at all. Now if these words were indeed the words of the person who passed away, and these were the thoughts of the person who was buried in the tomb, then this man surely must have thought about this event that was going to take place in his life, namely death. He must have thought of it. And for him, death is this: I'm not, I cannot. It seems that this man had great problems in his life, maybe great cares, great burdens. So when death came upon him, he felt that it was going to be a great comfort. For him, death would be a welcome event. Or maybe he had great earthly pains, physical pains, emotional pains, mental pains, and so forth. Death for him would end all these pains. And so he said, he would be saying, when I die, all these pains will go. I don't have to suffer anymore. Now, such people might be great supporters of euthanasia. They say, my life is mine. I do not want to suffer. I have the right to die. And when I die, after all, I become nothing. Why stop me from dying? Yes, let me have the comfort of dying. I don't want to have to suffer these sufferings that I'm having right now. And then advocates of euthanasia would always cite all these cases of people who suffered very, very badly before they died. I'll give an example of one of the cases that they cited. And this is with reference to this woman by the name of Sue Rodriguez. Sue Rodriguez was a mother in her 30s. She died slowly of this disease called Lou Gehrig's disease. I read for you, Lou Gehrig's disease. I do not know what it is, but I understand that this disease causes the muscles to waste away slowly. She lived for several years with the knowledge that her muscles would one by one waste away until the day came when, fully conscious, she would choke to death. She begged the courts to reassure her that a doctor would be allowed to assist her in choosing the moment of death, but the courts refused. She lived on in terror, helped eventually by a doctor who, in February 1994, secretly broke the law to help her die. So you see, the people who are supporters or advocates of euthanasia will cite such examples. They say, therefore, such people will be very merciful. So they call it mercy killing. Very merciful. Therefore, such people will be kind. Yes, it allows a person to die in comfort. So why deprive the person of dying in comfort? After all, the person is going to become nothing. He's going to become dust and ashes. That's all. Now, the truth is, there is no comfort in such kinds of death. The kinds that are supposed to end all burdens and cares. The kinds that assume that when a person dies, he becomes nothing. He becomes simply dust and ashes. Now, friends, that kind of comfort is imaginary. It is false. You see, when a person dies such kind of death, he is going to end his misery on this earth. And that's true. But friends, that's not the end. He's going to go into another misery. And that misery that he's going to go into is far, far worse than his earthly misery. And it will not be a case of getting out of the pan and going into the fire. No, my dear friends, it's far, far worse than that. Now you know what is the truth about death. The truth is this. The Word of God says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And that's the truth. There is going to be a judgment after death. The unrepentant sinner who thinks that he's got no soul, right? I don't have a soul, no soul, and that he becomes nothing but dust and ashes, my dear friends, might think that his misery on earth has ended. Maybe it's true. Alright, his misery ends. But he's going to enter into another kind of misery. It is the misery of hell. The misery of eternal punishment. And there is going to be a day of judgment for him. He is going to stand before the great white throne of God, before which he's going to be judged as a guilty, unrepentant sinner. And then he is going to be cast into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented for day and night for all eternity. Now, the person who had these words on his tombstone, I was not, I became, I'm not, I cannot, was possibly an atheist. To him, what was life? To him, life was possibly just a process of what is known as chemical history. I was once some lifeless chemicals. Then I became alive. I was born, I became alive. Yes? And then when I lived my life on this earth, I went through chemical changes as I age and as I mature. Then he said, he would have said this to himself, oh, when I die, I will also undergo chemical changes. Yes, I will simply become dust and ashes that will provide nutrients for another form of life. Now, to such a person, do you think death will be of any comfort? What do you think? Any comfort? Think of what? Yes? How can life, or how would he live his life, my dear friends, if he realizes that he is going to become nothing but dust and ashes? Death would be no comfort for him. So how do you think he's going to live his life when he realizes that death really is no comfort? I become dust and ashes, become nothing. Yes. My dear friends, one of the things that he will think of first of all is that he will not be accountable to anybody when he passes away. He thinks there's not going to be a judgment. And if he thinks that he's not accountable to anybody and there is not going to be a judgment, then does he care how he lives his life? Surely he doesn't care how he lives his life. Yes, if he's wicked, so what? Yes, he doesn't care. And I think he will probably have this motto for his life. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So, enjoy myself. Yes, I better enjoy myself. It is later than I think it is. So what comfort is there in there for him? No comfort for him at all, because for him, death means the end of all his pleasures that he has on this earth. Death is no comfort for him at all. And in reality, death is no comfort for him at all. In truth, no comfort at all for him, because when he passes away, he is going to enter into eternal hell. Now, to a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, life would not be, I was not, I became, I am not, I cannot. But what would life be? You look at the picture again, or the little chart I put in the insert. Yes, life for him would be this. Elected, born twice, enjoyed God, called home, enjoying God. Yes, that probably will be the inscription on his tombstone. Yes, that would be very reflective of his life. he would say, I was elected by the one true living God. And then I was born twice, born physically once, and then born again the second time spiritually. Yes, when I came to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And then after I came and trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I enjoyed life. I had the real meaning of life and I enjoyed life. And one day, I was called home to be with the Lord. And today, I'm enjoying life. I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in the arms of my precious Lord and I am enjoying life. So you see, for a believer, there is great comfort in death. He ends his earthly sufferings. He ends all his burdens. For him, it is being absent from the body and being present with the Lord. And it is also a case of being present with him and rejoicing with him forever and ever. And if he has been very faithful in serving the Lord, when he came to the close of his life, surely he would be able to say like what the great apostle Paul said. Remember what Paul said when he came to the close of his life, waiting to be executed. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them also who love his appearing. Surely, at the end of his life, or near the end of his life, one who is faithful to the Lord can say this concerning his life on this earth, and he can say it with great hope, anticipating his death with great joy. For him, if he is faithful, he knows that there is a day in which he is going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Not the great white throne of God, but before the judgment seat of Christ. There is a world of difference. The great white throne is for those who are unbelievers, the unrepentant sinners. The judgment seat of Christ is for those who are believers. One day, he knows that he's going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then if he had been faithful in serving the Lord, he's going to hear this said to him by the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's what he's going to hear. So, to believers, there is comfort in death, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then to believers, death is also a great comfort, because death has been conquered as far as the believer is concerned. And he understands that death is like sleep. Well, that's my second point. Death conquered. My second point. And he understands, as I said, death is like sleep. Now, the Lord says this in John chapter 11, verses 11 to 14. I'd like us to turn to this passage, John 11, 11 to 14. And this is with reference to the death of the Lord's friend, Lazarus, whom the Lord subsequently raised up from the dead. John 11, 11 to 14. Please turn to that passage, John 11, 11 to 14. John chapter 11, 11 to 14. Yes, I said earlier on that a believer understands that death is like sleep. I read for you, John 11, 11 to 14. These things said Jesus, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. However, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Yes. The Lord likens death to sleep. Death is like sleep to a believer. Now before I go on, I want to clarify one point, lest we make a big mistake in our belief concerning death. Now when the Lord refers to death as sleep, he's not talking about soul sleep. Let's not misunderstand. Alright? He's actually talking about death. Some people believe that when a person dies, his soul goes to sleep. You see, they believe that the soul and the body are one. Just one entity. Soul and body are one. So when a person dies, his body goes into the grave, his soul also goes into the grave. So his soul goes to sleep. But what's the truth? The Word of God has very, very clearly said to us, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Absent from this body, physical body, the soul is absent from this body. And where does the soul go to? To the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, these are not my words. I refer you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. 6, 7 and 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. Alright, I read for you 6 to 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So absent from the body means present with the Lord, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me show you another verse that teaches that the soul does not go to sleep with the body in the ground when a person dies, but the soul goes straight away to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's Word teaches us that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And first of all, He will return in the clouds. We call it the rapture. Alright, it's going to happen. And when He comes, what happens would be this: the dead in Christ will rise up from the grave. And that's what's going to happen. The dead in Christ will rise up from the grave. Now what about the soul? Alright, I'd like us to turn to 1 Thessalonians. Let's go back now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. Now remember, the dead in Christ rise up from the grave, right? We're talking about that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep or die in Jesus will God bring with Him. Now, what will the Lord bring with Him? The body or the soul? The soul, of course, the soul, because the body has been in the ground. Okay, so when the rapture takes place, the Lord brings the soul along with Him. And the soul and the body will then come together, they will be reunited. Yes? So, when a certain person passes away, his soul straight away goes to the Lord. If the soul had not gone to be with the Lord, how could the Lord bring the soul along with Him? So obviously the soul must have gone to the Lord. But the body has gone into the ground. It is the body that goes to sleep, but not the soul. So, soul sleep is a heresy. It is untrue. Now, death also has another meaning. It means spiritual death. Now, spiritual death is the separation of the soul from the one true living God. Now, physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. All right? Spiritual death is the separation of the soul from the one true living God. And this is explained to us or described to us in Isaiah 59 verse 2. But you keep your finger at 1 Thessalonians. But Isaiah 59 verse 2. Please turn to Isaiah 59 verse 2. It talks about separation of a person from the one true living God. Isaiah 59 verse 2, I read for you that verse. For your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. So our sins separate us from the one true living God. Now if a person is unrepentant, and he does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, his soul continues to be separated from the one true living God. And when he dies physically, his soul separates from his body. And where does his soul go to? Of course it continues to be separated from the one true living God. And that soul is going to go straight to hell. One day, the body of the unbeliever, the unrepentant sinner, will also be resurrected. It's going to happen. Who were unbelievers, they will also be resurrected. And the body of the dead unbeliever would be resurrected on that day, and that soul that has gone to hell will come together with the body, and that person will then have to appear before the great white throne of God, which I talked about earlier on. Yes, that person will have to appear before the great white throne of God, and judgment will be passed by the one true living God. And that person will be found guilty of being an unrepentant sinner. And then he will be cast into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented day and night for all eternity. To us believers, death is a comfort, because death has been conquered. Death has been conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty of our sins. He bore our sins on the cross of Calvary. And the word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56 says, "The sting of death is sin." Death has got a sting. A very, very fatal sting. A very, very poisonous sting. And that sting is sin. Yes, you get stung by sin, you die. Yes. One day, but as I said, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken that sting on our behalf. Let's not forget that. One day, a father was driving his young son in the car, and then a honeybee got trapped in the car. The little son panicked because he was afraid to be stung by the bee. But the father looked at the son and said, "Son, don't worry, it's all right, because I've taken the sting for you. The bee has already stung me." Now apparently, when a bee stings a person, the bee will leave the sting in the body of the person, and that sting would have been detached from the abdomen of the bee, and the bee will just die in minutes. Yes, after the sting has left the body of the left the abdomen of the bee. Friends, that exactly is what the Lord has Jesus Christ has done for us. He has taken the sting of death on our behalf, and death one day will be completely and utterly demolished, utterly destroyed. That is why on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished. I've paid for all your sins." Believers, because they have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, are no longer separated from the one true living God. They are now spiritually alive. It is when they are separated from the one true living God that they are spiritually dead. But now, they are no longer separated from Him, and so they are alive, spiritually alive. Both spiritual death and physical death have been conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as believers are concerned. So when we read wonderful passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which I would want us to read, we should be very, very encouraged. And we should be filled with thanksgiving. We should be rejoicing when we read a passage like this. I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 57. And I read these few verses for you. And as we read, we should be rejoicing. We should be filled with thanksgiving, because death has been conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 57. Verse 54. "So, when this corruptible," meaning our corruptible body, "shall have put on incorruption," one day we shall put on an incorruptible body when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, "and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So let's be very, very thankful. Let's be praising the Lord, because death has been conquered for us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, alright, let's read that verse together. "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Yes, one day death is going to be completely destroyed, and it will be visibly destroyed. We will see it as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my last point this morning. Believers will be very, very comforted, because they know that one day death will visibly be ended. There will be no more death, visibly ended. I'd like us to turn to the passage that we read earlier on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. I read for you this verse, these verses. Paul says to the folks in the city of Thessalonica, remember the Thessalonians wanted the answer to the question, what happened to our loved ones who passed away, right, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And this was the answer he gave to them. He said this in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You have hope, so you shouldn't be sorrowing. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them, with him. Remember, when the rapture takes place, the Lord is going to bring the souls of those who believe him along with him, right? Remember that? And verse 14, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, those who are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord comes, they will not go ahead. The word prevent means to go ahead. They will not prevent means they will not go ahead of those who are asleep, those who died in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So who will rise first? The dead or the people who are alive? The dead. Buried in the grave, they will rise first. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain, see, those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord returns, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, on that day, death is going to be visibly conquered. You see, the dead in Christ will rise up to be with the Lord. Death visibly conquered. And then we who are alive, we don't even have to experience death. Death has been so visibly conquered that we don't even have to experience death. We will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. What a day of great rejoicing that will be. Are you looking forward to that day, my dear friends? Yes, I know some will look forward to that day, especially if they are not prepared for the exams. Tomorrow is exams, I say, the Lord comes tonight. That's the best thing to happen. No, my dear friends, we all must look with great hope that the Lord is going to come very, very soon and look forward to that day. Now, for us believers, there is great comfort in that. Our earthly life ends. Our soul separates from our body and our soul goes straight into the arms of the Lord. Remember this truth always. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And that is great comfort for believers because death has been conquered by the Lord. Both physical as well as spiritual death. The Lord has taken the sting of death on our behalf. He bore our penalty on the cross of Calvary. And death has been destroyed by him. And one day, death will be completely and visibly destroyed by him when he comes again. The dead in Christ will rise first. They'll be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and their bodies and their souls will come together. And we who are alive then will follow after. We will be meeting with the Lord in the air. So one day, this conqueror of death will come to claim his bride. And all of us who are those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are members of this bride. Now the question that I need to ask you is, are you ready to meet the Lord when he comes again as a member of his bride? Are you ready? Are we waiting and watching? Are we busily occupied in his business so that when he comes, we'll be very, very glad to see him? Because we would love to hear him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no comfort in death for you. You have no hope at all. you pass away from this earth, understand this truth, you are not going to become dust and ashes because you have a soul. When you pass away, if you are an unbeliever, your soul goes straight to hell. And one day, your body in the ground is going to be resurrected, and your soul from hell is going to come together with your body again, and you shall have to appear before the great white throne of God. And you will be judged and found guilty as an unrepentant sinner, and you will be cast into the lake of fire, and you will be there forever and ever. So the choice is yours. Yes, where would you like to be? And on your tombstone, if you were to die, what will you have? Alright, you see the two choices. Alright, two choices. You have, I was not, I became, I am not, I cannot. Or, will this be on your tombstone if you choose to have these words on your tombstone? I was elected. I was born twice. I enjoyed God. I was called home. And I am enjoying God. Which one will it be? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you, O Lord God, there is comfort in death for all of us who are believers in you. We thank you for this truth, that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And we thank you for this truth, that death has been conquered by you. You have taken the sting of death on our behalf. And we know that one day death will be visibly conquered when you come again, when the dead in Christ will rise up first, and we who are alive and remain unto your coming will be caught up also to be with the dead in Christ, and will be meeting with you in the air. And we will be with you forever and ever. Father, we pray for those who have no comfort in death because they are unbelievers, they have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This morning, O Lord, speak to their hearts. Plead with them, O Lord, and cause them to come to believe in you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' blessed name we pray.